Welcome to Colt Gennaro Chat, the first of 2022. I'm Jeremy. I'm joined by Robbie, and we are going to talk all about Atletico's 2-0 win over Rayo Vallecano. Yes, that's right. Atletico's losing streak is over. Four-game losing skid to end 2021 has been left behind in that calendar year. Lots to talk about from this game. Relatively straightforward for Atletico, Robbie. Are you convinced by this performance? Was this one of the team's better performances this season? What were your general takeaways?
Yeah, I think it was fine. And I was thinking about that during the game. I was like, is this convincing? Is it, what does it say about them? And to be honest with you, after such a poor way to end 2021, I don't think it really matters. Getting the win was important. And right now, that's what it's all about for Atletico. And it's a pity that it has gotten to this. And it's a pity that they're not fighting for the title. But it is what it is. And I think Simeone just needs a couple of wins again to kind of, before you start fixing systems and tactics and start to kind of move on to the next level, it's just a matter of getting the confidence back and kind of reminding the players that they are still capable and it is still a good squad.
Yeah, and there is still a good amount to fight for, right? Even in La Liga, you want to finish as high as you can. And I think second place is still a good objective to have. That's relatively attainable, given that Sevilla haven't always been very convincing, and Betis and Rayo have been kind of surprise packages this season, Rayo especially, and we're going to talk about them a little later on. But from an Atletico point of view, yeah, just getting the win and getting some of those good feelings back after such a miserable end to the calendar year. First win in La Liga since November 20th, and out shooting Rayo 15-5. I don't believe Rayo had a shot on target the entire game. How about that? A clean sheet in addition to the win. Haven't seen too many of those lately.
Yeah, it's hard to concede goals when you don't when the opposition don't get a shot on target.
So, I have heard that.
Yeah,
that's, I've been told.
Coaching 101.
That's right. Yes, Angel Correa, the star man for Atletico today, Robbie. Two goals for him on either side of halftime. The first one just before the half hour mark, a bit of a pinball. I think Rodrigo De Paul was really the one who made this goal, wasn't he?
Yeah, excellent run, and one of those kind of trademark no-nonsense drives with the head down into enemy territory. And then Yannick Carrasco, who I'm sure we'll talk about later on, Carrasco just does so well. And we often talk about Joe Felix and Thomas Lemar having something that no one else in the squad has. But Yannick Carrasco has that, his ability to beat men one-on-one, his love for dribbling. He just loves taking players on. He's so good at it. And he causes so much. He's so slippery, and he can create so much trouble for opposing defense. And then, yeah, like you said, pinball. And yeah, I know Lucas Zidane, it's kind of a tough one. I watched it a couple of times back, and I know it's a really tough one, but I mean, and I know Angel Correa kind of hits it really quickly. It's one of those ones where he doesn't really lift his foot back very far, and it's hard to kind of see Zidane's vision might have been kind of blocked, but you're getting bet at your near post, under your legs. It's not the best of looks, and I don't know if Dmitrievski does much better today for Rayo and keeps him in it, but I think that goal doesn't go in, and you get to half-time nil all, and all of a sudden Atletico's, those demons and those ghosts of last year start back in, and all of a sudden it's a different game. But yeah, once Atletico took the lead, never really in doubt at the end of the day. But and yeah, it's good to see Correa getting on the score sheet. Nice that he is scoring twice and a main player in the game.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about him in addition to Carrasco and a couple other guys in just a sec. But you mentioned Lucas Zidane, who was, of course, Zinedine's kid, who is usually the backup keeper for Rayo. I believe this was his first appearance since that horror show against Sevilla on the opening day of the season. Dmitrievski, who's been quite good this year, unavailable due to the COVID protocols in La Liga. I think he tested negative, but he was rendered unavailable anyway. From the Rayo point of view, Robbie, only one win away from home all season. Their home and away form has been really Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Was this a matter of Atletico taking control of the game, or a really poor Rayo team kind of making it easy for them?
Yeah, it looked like that, didn't it? I think when Rayo don't have Oscar Trejo at number 10, like Unai Lopez, I love Unai Lopez as a player. I think he offers so much, but the system has to be right for him. He's not the kind of player who imposes himself on a game. And not the system, but the circumstances had to be right. Atletico are just way too physical for him, and he didn't really get going at all today. Sergio Guardiola didn't get a whole lot of... get a much of a look in, and also they're missing Alvarito Garcia on the left, and I think I'd have to watch the game back, but there was, and I know that it's really simplistic to break it down like this, but Rayo were actually going really well and passed by Lucas Zidane out, and after that it felt like Atletico just kind of grew in confidence and Rayo just completely shrunk from the challenge, and I wonder like if that had something got to do with the kind of way that the game went. Now, I know it was, again, that's very simplistic, but Rayo did start the game really well, and it looked like Atletico were just going to let them play, but once Atletico got the feel of the game, they did start to really put pressure on Rayo, and once they got the first goal, it was game over. But, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, at the end of the day, look, and I'm guilty of this. I get excited when Rayo win and they go on a nice wins and they get have a couple of, you know, they have good victories, like they bet Barcelona and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this Rayo Vallecano team is a bottom half team, a squad. So and more often than not, Iraola's coaching, as I've said many times before, is absolutely excellent, and he has turned this team into he has turned his team into a coherent, enjoyable watch. But at the same time, more often than not, you come up against an Atletico Madrid with the talent in their squad, and you could have the child of Pep Guardiola, Arsene Wenger, and Johan Cruyff on the sideline, and it's not going to matter. I just think in the second half of the season, we're going to see Rayo coming up against teams that are just superior than them in talent and in physique, in every department that matters. And I think that no matter how good Iraola is, there are going to be games where Atletico just get outclassed, and it's as simple as that. So we can talk about what Atletico did, but at the end of the day, or what Rayo didn't do, but at the end of the day, Atletico, you play that game 100 times, and Atletico win it probably 90-95 times out of 100.
Rayo have just one win from 10 away from Vallecas this year, Robbie. One win, two draws, seven defeats, just seven goals for. They've lost five of their past six away from home. But I think we do, even though Rayo have had such a splendid start to the season, have been La Liga's surprise package, bar none. And even if the second half of the season is more difficult for them, this has still been a raging success, right? Like from a newly promoted POV, like you're 15 points clear of the drop halfway through the season, you're going to stay in La Liga after... They finished sixth in Segunda last year, didn't they?
Yeah, and they just snuck in as well.
Yeah, they just snuck in.
Had absolutely no right even competing. And even then when they came into the La Liga, I was thinking this is going to be one and done kind of a situation. But then, and after that Sevilla game, I was thinking this Rayo team is just going to be embarrassing to watch all year. But instead, they completely turned it around and had some amazing victories against the top teams. But at the same time, people say, "Oh, will they make Europe and stuff like that?" Honestly, like for Rayo fans, I think it's more about just a little bit of solidity or stability in La Liga, because it's been up and down ever since I moved to Spain 6 or 7 years ago. It's been up and down and up and down, and that's fine. But it's not so much. I don't mind going to watch Rayo in the Segunda. The problem is that the team just, there's no stability. You get a couple of good players, and you get relegated, and they're all sold, and then you have a nice team in Segunda, and then the Segunda is so kind of everything is moving all the time, and you have players coming in and out. There's no kind of stability. And then you might get promoted, and you've got a new, brand new set of players, and you're like, okay, let's get behind these guys, and then they're sold 6 months or a year later, when it's not working out, and when it seems fairly evident it's not going to happen. And you just, there's no like stability, and I think that just if Rayo could stay in La Liga for 5 or 6 years, they might be able to maybe actually build something. I think that's, there might be some fun in that. But yeah, I think, and for me, and I said it all along, Rayo just need to stay up this year, and I'm not even thinking about Europe, like, because
And it's looking like,
I sound like a manager here. I'm not thinking about Europe game by game.
Just... partido a partido.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Every game's a final. But yeah, it's Rayo. The key is to start a project, right? And I think Iriola has done a really good job there this season, irrespective of this result, which was really important for Atletico. Rayo have done a lot of really good work this season and are going to stay up. Where they finish is, you know, where they finish, just as long as you stay up and start to build a project. But Atletico surpassing Rayo in the table with this victory. Angel Correa getting his second goal just after halftime, a quick counterattack, and how about this, a Renan Lodi assist, an inch-perfect cross, Correa accelerating past, I think it was it Maras, the defender he accelerated past on his run?
I'd have to look back.
I'd have to watch it again,
central,
too.
So maybe Baliou?
Yeah, that might be right. But Correa timed his run perfectly, Lodi's cross was inch-perfect, and Correa's now on half a dozen goals in La Liga with the two goals today. Is he the best forward in Atletico Madrid's squad?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a question about his ceiling and how good he can be. The problem is the unpredictability. And then coming back to one of my other kind of the tenets of my philosophy is that it's hard to judge players when the team itself isn't consistent. So, I mean, in a different setting, I think he's got all the tools. The unpredictability, the turn, the swivel, the aggression, the finishing, maybe not. But, I think that the tools are there, the ceiling, and his ceiling is excellent. It's just the problem is, when he goes on droughts, it tends to be quite bad, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been the case throughout his career, right? These rough patches where he'll go 2, 3, 4 months without scoring. But he's been much more consistent over the past, I'd say, calendar year, roughly. Really, since that Betis game toward the end of last season when he missed what would have been a game winner at the very end. He has been this is probably the most consistent form of his career these past 8, 9 months, bridging the end of last season into this season. I think right now he should be an automatic starter. He's been that good and that consistent this season. Suarez, we've talked about Suarez all year and the kind of problem that his profile presents with how Atletico want to play. Cunha hasn't really nailed down a starting bid, not at all really. I think he's only made one start. Griezmann has been up and down in La Liga. Joao Felix, we know the injuries and COVID history there, but Correa has been ever present this season, and he had a fabulous game today. 3 shots, all of them on target, 5 key passes in a dribble completed. I also thought this was a good Suarez game for what it was worth. If Atletico are going to play on the counter, which I still think is the strategy they should adhere to, Suarez could fit in some manner as someone to facilitate these runs for Correa, Lema, Carrasco. It's obviously not going to get him close to goal, but Suarez is a really good passer. He always has been. 2 chances created today, only 1 shot on target, but I thought he did contribute quite a bit in Atletico's build-up. It looked a lot more fluid when he dropped behind the penalty area, strangely enough.
Yeah, and I think the problem is that it's not about when he's on the ball, it's fine, but the issue is getting to the ball first and getting turned, and so you have to. So often you see him where a defender is on his back and he just can't control it, or I don't know whether that's age or just his form is out. Like his passing, and he is quite an underrated creative player throughout his career, because we would have just seen him purely as a pure killer, which he is as well. But definitely very creative. But it's just a matter of, are you willing to suffer through the poor games? Are you willing to suffer through the ball losses? Are you willing to are you willing to sacrifice maybe an hour or 30 minutes or a half of him giving the ball away several times for the couple of good passes? And I think that's something that if you've got nobody else in the team, then that's fine. But if Cunha can come in, and as a 22-year-old, if he can't, he's probably not as creative a passer as Suarez, but if he offers more like running around movement, stuff like that, and I think if Cunha is playing better than Suarez, then obviously you have to go with him. But I also think that, and this is kind of comes back to the problems that Atletico have been having, and we've seen and this is kind of speaks to what you were talking about, Ángel Correa there, like. If you look at it, say, in terms of the links that you have with players, like they just trademark moves. Last season, it was Llorente and Trippier down that right hand side. They could how many times last season did we see it where they just kind of split a defense open? They were like communicating telepathically almost.
Yeah.
And this season, we haven't really seen that. Trippier and Correa don't really have much. Rodrigo de Paul has been in and out of the team. Llorente hasn't got a proper run. He was playing right back for a long time. Today, we saw Yannick Carrasco, Correa, and Trippier linking up quite well there together. A nice kind of mini, let's just call those mini games within games. Mm. That, like, that kind of area of the field, time and again, cause problems for the opposition, and I think that's on Simeone now to find and to figure out where those good combinations, where can he find those good combinations where he can get almost immediate rewards, because that's what he needs at this point. And he got them today with Correa, Carrasco, and even Trippier. He didn't have to do as much going forward, but he was good too. He kind of knew what was happening ahead of him.
Trippier took a team high and a game high 94 touches in this game. Would be kind of bittersweet or ironic if Trippier's probably his best game this season is also his last one for Atletico, with the Newcastle rumors ramping up. Do you see him leaving this month?
It sounds like it seems to be trending that way. And I'd say Atletico know that they're going to lose him for nothing, and it looks like I would say, if I was pushed for an answer, I'd say yes.
Well, I didn't have to push you; you provided it.
Yeah, I could feel your I could feel your eyes just staring at the screen.
Like, am I really so intimidating?
yeah.
Goodness!
No. I don't like. I don't know. That's the answer. I don't know. But if I was pushed for it, I would say yes. It feels like it's been it's trending in that direction.
Yeah,
all right.
I'd have to agree. Given the reported salary that's on offer, and given that Newcastle can probably satisfy Atletico with an offer of around 20-25 million euros, I'd say if that offer is lodged, it's probably going to happen this month. And we'll see who Atletico can source as a replacement. Obviously, we've talked about it a few times this season, just a few. Atleti are trending toward a complete defensive overhaul, given the struggles throughout this season. Today, clean sheet, great. They needed that. But over the balance of the season, Atletico's defense has been pretty poor, as we know, and they need more options and more bodies back there. Making a possible profit on Trippier was a good way to start.
Yeah, and that's actually something I was thinking about today, and I kind of say this tongue-in-cheek, but in a way, with all the absences for Atletico, maybe Simeone works better when he has less to think about. Less options, and I know that's probably ridiculous, but you're playing there, and that's it. There's no second-guessing and kind of players looking over their shoulder and changing systems and changing personnel an hour through the game and players almost knowing that there's going to be changes. It started today, and it was four to back and Condogbia, and there was no room for, oh, well, maybe after an hour we're going to completely rejig the system. It was what it was, and that's it. Maybe, obviously, he doesn't want to lose Trippier. No squad would want to lose their starting right back. But Llorente, maybe, like the fact that Llorente and Rodrigo De Paul have been kind of... Rodrigo De Paul feels like he's the de facto starter there, but out and then he goes in and then he drops out for Llorente, and then Llorente plays right back, and then Llorente, instead of just saying Llorente, you're playing right back for the rest of the season. That's it. I don't want to hear anything else. And that's it. Okay.
Which I think that's possible. I think that's certainly possible. That's what Atleti decided to do, for better or worse.
Yeah, I think that is possible, but just in terms of the confidence that then gives Llorente, focus on that instead of having to focus on playing in a different position, in a different role. And I think that based on what we have seen from Diego Simeone since he took over a decade ago, he does like having a kind of a tight squad where he relies on the same players over and over again. And once they can kind of find that, and we mentioned at the start of the pod about Atletico fighting for maybe second that. I mean, and I know it's kind of ridiculous that the 2-0 win at home against Rayo isn't the kind of thing that would change your mind about 6 months of pretty poor football.
Right.
But it's not out of the question that Real Madrid start to drop points pretty fast here. And it's also not out of the question that Atletico do find that formula that we've been talking about and go on a run of maybe let's just say 10 games. All of a sudden, you're down to maybe a 4-point lead with 6, 7, 8 games to go. And we do have a Liga, as they say. So, I'm not, obviously, that's not to say that this Rayo game changes my opinion on what Atletico have been. But if they do find the right formula, they probably could eke out 8, 9, 10 victories in a row. And it's not out of the realm possibility that Real Madrid collapse, because Ancelotti said it's been going so well. This is a couple of months ago. I remember him saying, like, look, it's going unbelievably well, he said, but the losses will come. And I think that based on what we know or what we thought at the start of the season, that this Real Madrid squad wasn't great. And I still believe that to be the case. Modric isn't getting any fresher as the season goes on, and he's just a phenomenon, but Cruz, Modric, Casemiro aren't going to get any fresher as the season goes along with all the games coming up. And I just think that it isn't out of the realm of possibility they go on a poor run, and Sevilla and Betis have never been here before in a proper title challenge. So I would expect them to start maybe dropping points, and then Simeone maybe going on a run of 8 or 9 wins, and then, you know, let's see what happens.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we have the inverse of what happened last season when Atletico were the ones being chased? But yeah, the gap right now is 14 points. Atletico did capitalize on Madrid's loss earlier on Sunday to Getafe. That was 1-0 at the Coliseum, Alfonso Perez. And yeah, it's still a pretty large gap, and Atletico have to continue going game by game. The goal should still be finishing top four. But, you know, stranger things almost happened just last season. So we'll have to see what happens with Madrid. They really, really missed Vinicius in that Getafe game. He couldn't play due to the positive COVID test. Other Atletico players who I thought stood out today. Jeffrey Condogbia got to go back into midfield, and I thought he played really, really well. 87% passing accuracy, completed 4 dribbles, really valuable shield in front of the back four. Condogbia is a really important player in this squad because there isn't really anyone else that has that profile, that classic throwback central midfielder, that defensive-minded pivot. And I don't think Koke was really missed in this game because DePaul played well and Condogbia was excellent.
Yeah, and there was a couple of counterattacks that Condogbia was able to stop or just slow down. And I've been looking at, and I will release it soon, but the expected goals, I think I spoke about him before, but Ben Torvani is a data scientist.
Yes.
on Twitter, and then he was kind of talking about the limits of expected goals, and there was articles written back when Liverpool were their XG wasn't great, but they were just like blowing teams away. And there was people saying, does XG maybe not capture everything? And Ben did an analysis of that. And Atletico's expected goals against expected goals against is incredible. But at the same time, they're giving up these massive chances, and just they look wide open all the time on the break. And I think that just going off expected goals, it doesn't tell the full story, because if you just look at that statistic, you're thinking Atletico are fine, but they're clearly not. So I'm just kind of, I think that Condogbia fixes that problem in that Koke, he's obviously a stalwart and a pivotal player for Simeone, but he can't stop those counters. And I think that it's one of those things where he doesn't get blame, he doesn't get accredited any blame, but he can't stop those counters, and that's where teams just rip Atletico Madrid to shreds
all season.
And I think Condogbia fixed that today.
Yeah.
And gave Atletico a much more solid look overall.
Carrasco and Lemar both played really well in the second half, too. Carrasco with 5 dribbles completed, Lemar with 6, and he was fouled 4 times. Carrasco was playing on the right for the most part, which is not his preferred position because he can't really cut inside. Early in the game, he was, again, foul hunting and wasn't playing to the whistle, but he really turned it on in the second half, had a shot clatter off the post. Had a couple really good opportunities in that second half. He is such an what's the Spanish phrase? Unbalancing player, right?
Yeah. That's what he does, and he's the kind of player where you watch him and he gets the ball at his feet, and it's just, it's not the time slows down, but it's kind of like if there's proper movement, able to buy himself enough time to let things develop, and then maybe just play a player through. And there's so many times we've seen that. And when we saw it again today, that for the goal even, that kind of cut back. And he had done that before the goal, but he had done that and created loads of space down that right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able, and when the movement is good in the box, that's a goal-creating machine of a move. So, yeah, I mean, Carrasco can be frustrating to watch, and he can be kind of a bit flimsy, get pushed over and stuff like that. But he does definitely have something that unbalancing act that a few players in the squad have, if any.
Cholo Simeone is talking in the press conference right now, and this is going back to Kieran Trippier. He just said, Trippier is an extraordinary player, and we want him to stay, but when a player wants to leave, we cannot force him to stay. Sounds kind of like an admission, doesn't it?
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what's been coming out all along. We've heard since almost the summer, there's been talk that Trippier wants to go back. We didn't know where he was going to go, but it just feels perfect right now in that it will satisfy his economic demands. It will satisfy Atletico getting something back for a player they're going to lose for nothing anyway. And Trippier gets to go back to a fairly exciting project. So, because Trippier came from Spurs, obviously, and he is a good enough player that he's playing for the Spanish champions, but he's not a good enough player maybe to merit both a transfer fee and the economic demands that he would require. Well, it's Premier League, so maybe not. But there's only maybe like a handful of teams that we would be willing to spend money in January for him. And Newcastle are just—it's perfect because they need to stay up for their project to kind of get off to a good start. They've got all sorts of money, and Eddie Howe is obviously there trying to build himself a team. And Trippier looks like he'd be the perfect right wing back to start that project. So I just think it just feels, in those transfers, it just feels right. It just feels like this is going to satisfy everyone involved.
Well, before we wrap up today's show, Robbie, a couple more things to quickly run through. Atletico's next game is against another Rayo Majada Honda. That's going to be at the Wanda Metropolitano on Thursday. Expect heavy rotations as Atletico's latest Copa del Rey adventure begins. Kind of difficult to preview that one, given we don't know what the squad's going to look like There are probably going to be several first-team absences, Koke, Griezmann. As far as we know, both still COVID positive and weren't going to play that game anyway. Same goes for Joao Felix. Atleti have had a couple Copa del Rey humiliations in recent years. Let's see if they can go a step further this time around. But beyond that, Robbie, you have a really unique perspective on Rayo Vallecano, in part because you've written a book about them. And I want to draw our listeners' attention to this book without embarrassing you too much, if I can do that.
Yeah, no problem at all. Go ahead.
So Robbie wrote a book a few years ago called Working Class Heroes. You can find it on Amazon, like I did. It's not a very long read, about 220 pages, but there's a lot of really good info in there. It's a really solid read. If you could sum up really quickly, Robbie, what really drew you to Rayo and what inspired you to write the first English language book on them?
Well, for a start, it was Paco Jimenez, to be honest with you. I just loved the I watched La Liga here back in Ireland when I lived there for years, and I used to watch Rayo playing under Paco Jimenez, and I just thought it just fascinated me, the kind of style and the feel, in the stadium in Vallecas, and then Ewan McClare, actually a friend of both of ours, he wrote a book about Eibar, and I was reading and I was thinking, well, it would be a cool thing to do, and I was going over to Spain without any work in the media or anything, and I just asked him how he did it. And he explained to me what he did. He pitched the idea to the publishing house, and they said yes or no, and they asked him for a timeline and stuff like that, and just kind of figured that out. And then I just kind of went about it. I contacted a few people, and I was like, is this possible for a person who's become a very good friend of mine since, Paul Reedy, who's a Rayo Vallecano season ticket holder, or at least he was before he protests now, so he doesn't buy a season ticket anymore. But I asked him, I said, Paul, do you think this is, what do you think? And he said, yeah, sounds good. Come here, meet me. He's an Irish guy who moved to Spain many years ago. So I met him in his house one of the first weeks. I moved there, had a cup of tea, and we had a chat, and he said, he helped me a lot with the book, and met up with a lot of journalists here, Sid Lowe, John McCorrigan, interviewed a bunch of the players, past and present. I got in contact with the club, and the club, I know the club has been criticised, and rightly so, for its just... for the way it's run, but at the same time, the press officer there, Fernando, was excellent with me and got me. I sent him a message. I think it was through Paul that he got my number. But anyway, he said to me, who would you like to interview? And I said, well, the manager, Mitchell. I interviewed Robert Trasoras. Mm-hmm. And they were just, and that was the nice thing about it, in that Rayo Vallecano are a huge club in many senses, that they're professional team in La Liga, not at the time, but generally they have been over the years. But at the same time, they're really Spanish football is kind of funny in that it's huge, but it's also quite accessible in many ways. And then so what did I do then? Oh yeah, and then I talked to the Bucaneros, who are the Rayo Vallecano fan, the ultras there, and I spoke to one of their representatives about what they were trying to do, and just kind of dug into the history a little bit and wrote about it, and so that's the story of it, and learned a lot, and at the same time, when you say, I don't want to embarrass you too much, I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's the kind of thing where you write a book and then. Like, a book is never a finished thing. You have to hand it to the publishers, and they publish it. It's there in print. But at the same time, if I write that book today, it's a completely different thing, because my experiences have changed, my opinions have developed, my everything has changed, you know. And which is a good thing. You're not just kind of stagnant. But at the same time, if you were to think like that, you'd never write or do anything. So, my skill set probably wasn't where I would have liked it to be looking back, but at the same time, I did it, and it's a book, and it's people that have enjoyed it, and that's the main thing, really.
It's really, really a valuable read, and an important read as well, because Rayo as a club, very unique in the neighborhood from which they've emerged. It's a very working class leftist community within Madrid, and they really, how the club is run is they're not run very well, but theirs are about as passionate as supporters as you can find in Spain. And you write about your experiences watching games with them, and the interviews you've conducted are just fabulous. So highly recommended read for our listeners. Go find Working Class Heroes by our very own Robbie Dunn. It's on Amazon, and you won't regret reading it. And on that note, I think we're going to sign off for today, this Sunday edition of the show. Good to talk about an Atletico win, even if it is over Rayo. Robbie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely no problem, Jeremy, and we will chat soon.
Yes, we will chat next week following Atletico's Copa del Rey game against Rayo Majadahonda. That is going to be in Madrid at the Wanda Metropolitano next weekend. Atletico traveling to Villarreal for another big one there. Two Champions League teams matching up. No Luis Suarez, no Jose Jimenez for that game. They're both suspended. But we will talk about that when the time comes. Thank you all for listening. Happy New Year. Keep it on Into the Calderon, our social media pages, and patreon.com/cultgenerochat for more goodies. We will talk to you all again soon. Adios.